The reading this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Moral benefits of wisdom. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word, for your inspired, infallible word. Lord, we ask that as we meditate on it for these next few moments, that, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that you would move in our hearts, that you would give us such a yearning for Jesus. And this we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. So if you're new to church, you won't know this, but we've been in a series called Fruitful Lives, Living Fruitful Lives. And who doesn't want to live a fruitful life? We are looking at the characteristics of a Holy Spirit life. One of the things that we've been stressing, and probably to the point of you getting, oh, Dave, will you stop stressing this? This is not the kind of people that we can be if we just try a little bit harder. If you go back to the passage that actually we are basing this series in Galatians chapter 5, you see a contrast between our natural selves and a Holy Spirit-filled life. And it's not flattering at all when you look at the life of the sinful nature. That nature that we're born with. That nature that you don't have to train a child. We've got three kids, they're all grown up now. We never ever had to teach them how to be naughty. Never once. But again and again and again, we would have to remind them what good looked like. What selflessness looked like. Never had to teach them once about being selfish. It is in us. I hope you realize that what we're talking here about is not about gritting your teeth and just getting more discipline, more and more discipline, getting more serious looking. We have plenty of Christians that look very serious looking, and I think the world could do with less of that and actually see more grace-filled people who are just resting in the fact that it's all about the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? See, we can't work this up. We can't just get to the spiritual gym, if you like, and just pump more spiritual iron and actually change our characteristics. We can't do that. What Jesus says to us is actually not very flattering at all. He says, I want you to crucify your sinful nature. Not try and actually medicate it, but crucify it. Put it to death because it will want to eat you. And those around you that you love, it will want to devour them too. So please deal seriously with the sinful nature. Why? Because God wants us to live the good life. And of course, when I thought about the good life, I went back to a series that I remember when I was a bit younger of the good life. And there was Margot and Tom and who else was in it? Barbara, that's right. And these wonderful characters who captivated us in trying to live the good life. Well, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to live the good life. Do you? The problem is that each of us, by the end of the week, we know, flipping heck, I've blown it again. God, would you help me? So when we're looking at a person that truly was a Holy Spirit-filled person, we're thinking about Jesus, of course. He was full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And as we're looking at this morning, goodness. And Jesus said to the disciples, it's good that I'm going away, so that as I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And it's that same Holy Spirit that wants to completely occupy every cell of your body. And so this morning we look at goodness, and God makes a big deal about goodness in his word. Here are just some verses. Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your heavenly Father. Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's workmanship. I love that. As you know, I like messing with wood. And I try and turn a bit of wood into a bit of furniture or whatever. What I've discovered is how to turn wood into sawdust, but that's another story. We have other people here who are gifted in making really good things out of wood. But we have this beautiful picture here that God is making something beautiful out of you. Isn't that lovely? That he's making something quite uniquely beautiful out of you. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I think what he's saying there is that you've been shaped in a certain way for a certain time to do certain things. And if we don't do them, I'm sure the Lord will raise up others to do them, but actually we've been uniquely shaped to actually do these things at this time. Look at another verse here from 1 Peter. Live such good lives among the pagans, in other words, those that don't believe in Jesus, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see the way that you live. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see, our lifestyles, our life choices has an eternal impact on other people. This is huge. As someone has said, we are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. We are saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I depend completely on my Savior, on what he did on that cross for me 2,000 years ago. I don't think about my salvation as being to try and be good enough to get there. I know I'm not. I know I never will be good enough to get there, but Jesus was and Jesus is. And Jesus has my salvation, and Jesus has your salvation. If only you will give your life and surrender your life to him and say, Jesus, take me as I am. And that's what he does. He sees us as we are. We can put up a veneer, we can put up a facade, and we can pretend to be all. But Jesus sees what we are, and he says, I love you just as you are. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us as we are. He wants to take us into a life that is full of these characteristics that we're studying in this series. Now, I guess if I was to ask you, what does a good life look like? I guess we know. We'll say about somebody, oh, they're a good sort, or they're a good egg. I don't wonder where that saying came from, a good egg. We got some lovely sayings, haven't we? But we know that when we're talking about that, we're talking about somebody who's living in a selfless way that is blessing others. It's a life lived for the blessing of others. Would you agree? Yes. I think that's what a good life is. And I would suggest that that definition of a good life comes very close to how we were originally designed by God to live. And I do find it interesting that in Scripture, we read right back at the creation account, in Genesis 1, it says, "And God saw that it was good." It was repeated again. "And God saw that it was good." "And God saw that it was good." And then when God created man and woman, God said, "It was very good." And it would appear to me, and I think this is coming up on the slide, that things are good when they function according to the purpose it was created to serve. Would you agree with that? Things are good when they function according to the purpose it was created to serve. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you've still got breath in your lungs? God has got a purpose for you, and it is uniquely shaped for you, but the big heading is that he's created you to glorify God through your lives. I think it's in the shorter catechism. It says that a man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I was so pleased with some of the songs that Pete chose for us earlier, talking about God's goodness. Psalm 23 says this: "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who takes refuge in him." Can I just share a personal testimony that when I came to discover that Jesus was real and that Jesus created me on purpose, it totally transformed my life. I grew up in a non-Christian home. I didn't know much about Jesus. But then when I started to explore in God's word about this person called Jesus and the kind of person he was, and that he lived and he died for me and was raised again for me, that I'm actually have an eternity with him, it just blew my mind. I think that there's a God as good as that I could know and love, and that he loves me. I liken it to this, and please forgive me, those of you who are under the age of about 45. I grew up in an era where televisions were black and white. Anybody else have a testimony of that? Okay. I loved it. It was so fantastic. Because what you've got to remember is that these black and white televisions were so state of the art, because previously people used to listen to things on the radio. But now you could watch it. But when I became a Christian, it was a bit like the day when we went from a black and white telly to a colour television on rent from Rediffusion. Do you remember Rediffusion? We had a 26-inch telly. We were the poshest people on the street, I tell you. There was nobody quite like us in our council estate, I tell you. We had this colour television. And I've said it to you before, but we used to love a programme called Pop Black, which was snooker, right? And we used to watch it in black and white. Every ball was the same colour. But then we saw it in colour, and we thought, oh my word. And when you become a Christian, when you receive Jesus into your life, you change and the world around you changes. You just see things differently. I remember when I came to know Jesus at the age of 15 on a youth camp, and I went home, my mother was absolutely terrified. I came home and her son, who was just a sportaholic, and so if it was the summer I'd be playing cricket, if it was winter I'd be playing rugby. I came home from this youth camp in the summer, and instead of looking for the ball that was nearby so I could go out and play cricket or whatever, I picked up my Bible and wouldn't stop reading it. My mother thought I was ill. What has happened to my son? I couldn't stop reading about this man who loved me so much that he gave his life for me. What about you? Do you know him? Do you know this good God who gave everything and moved heaven and earth so that you can be part of his family? We sang earlier, we're part of God's family. You're not automatically, you know. You're not automatically. We're all part of his creation, but to be part of his family, we have to respond to his invitation. Do you want to come? He's got an invitation. Do you want to be part of my family? And the invitation is given by Jesus. And he says, I want you to trust in me. Come to me. Know me. And come to the banquet I've prepared for you. But you have to accept it. Being part of his family is not automatic. But I tell you what, when you come to his family, oh my word, the transformation that happens inside you. Now that does not mean that all your problems go away. I'm going to suggest to you that's probably when your problems really start. And the reason I say that is because you become very aware of what is good and what isn't good. Because that's the next point I actually want to make here, is that because God is good, he can help us to know what is good and what is not. Increasingly, there is a difference between what society thinks is good and what the Bible teaches good. Would you agree? We could talk about a number of things this morning. But in our Bible reading earlier, God makes clear how we will know what is good, or the good path, as it puts it in verse 9. What is that path? How do we find that path? If we want to know what the good life is, how to find that good life, we need to know where the path is, how to find it. Well, I want us to go back to that passage that Helen read to us a little bit earlier, but I want to read it from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. But I like the way that they've put it. It says this, every young man, every young person, and can I just say that? It's wonderful that we've got so many young people amongst us this morning. It needs to start now for you. Please don't put this off until you think, oh my goodness, I'll wait until I'm middle-aged or old like Dave. I thank God that it was when I was 15 years of age that this became real for me. Because I could then give my life. Oh, let's put it another way. God had a lifetime to work on me. My dad became a Christian when he was nearly 60. And he said his greatest regret that is that he didn't discover the love of Jesus when he was much younger. He said it would have saved him and others from a lot of pain. Every young person who listens to me and obeys my instructions will be given wisdom and good sense. Yes, if you want better insight and discernment and a searching for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure, then wisdom will be given you and knowledge of God himself. You will soon learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and of trusting him. For the Lord grants wisdom. His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. He grants good sense to the godly, his saints. He is their shield, protecting them and guarding their pathway. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong, how to find the right decision every time. For wisdom and truth will enter the very center of your being, filling your life with joy. This is the path, God says. I'm making it very clear where you will find it. We find the good life when we start listening to God and obeying what he teaches. Let me ask me, what's shaping our lives? Is it God's word or is it the world? Listen to these sobering words from Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. God says, just ask me. I'll show you. I'll show you the way. And then you have right at the end, it says, but we will not walk in it. What terribly sad words. And those of you who know your Bibles will know about the pain for these people who were taken from their homeland and went into exile. Why? Because they kept refusing to go God's way, follow God's path. I do believe that our enemy Satan has got a brilliant marketing section. He knows how to make things look attractive. I remember somebody saying to me years ago, some of you won't understand this term, but they said, Satan's is a bit like encouraging you to buy a car on HP, hire purchase, not realizing that you'll have to pay for it for the rest of your life. He just makes things look attractive. God is offering us a choice. Please, God, let us not be like the people of Israel who rejected God's ways. I wonder if anybody would like to give a testimony of what it's like walking in ways that you know are not right. I can. And they're miserable. Let us seek out the ancient paths where the good way is. I'm going to suggest three very quick things how we can do these things. First one is repent. Good old-fashioned Bible word. In 2 Chronicles 7, it says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I'll talk more about that in September, actually. But the word that's really important for me is the word turn, because that's at the heart of repentance. It's a change of mind that leads to a change in direction. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change in direction, and how our church desperately needs to change. Psalm 34 says this, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." It's a turning, it's a changing, and it changes every part of us, but it changes especially the things that come out of our mouths. We're to repent, and we are to renew. To renew our commitment to putting God first in our lives. I mentioned last week, he's not the side salad on our plate, but he's the main thing. And that starts with making prayer and Bible reading our priority. And I've got on my phone two apps that help me. The first one is the YouVersion Bible app. There are many different Bible apps out there, but it's the YouVersion Bible app that I use. And as I was preparing for this, the actual verse for the day, when I was writing this part of the sermon, was this: "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's word needs to be our plumb line. I'm looking at young people over there. I started wallpapering when I was a bit younger than you. My mum would get me to wallpaper. It's probably why I never wallpaper now, love, actually. Because I used to put my thumb through the wallpaper. Have anybody done that? We used to buy, when we first got married, we used to buy this really, really cheap wallpaper, didn't we? What was it called? Wood chip. Do you remember wood chip? I remember one day of putting up wood chip, okay, in our home. Sue said to me, "You're not very nice, are you?" I was getting so frustrated with my thumb going through all of this. But what you do, what my mum taught me, is that when you're hanging paper, what is critical is that you go from a straight line, something that's vertical. And of course they use lasers and all that kind of fancy stuff now, but back in the day it was a bit of string with a weight on it. And that would get you a straight line. But don't do what I did, was to put my Stanley Life on the bottom of it and then drop it onto a gas pipe. Not really good, okay? And all we could hear was sss. And there was a major call out then to the gas board. Not recommended. But my wallpaper was straight. The house wasn't standing anymore, but my wallpaper was straight. What I'm saying to you is, what are you allowing to shape your life? How do you know if you're living correctly? Is it the latest podcast? Is it the latest tidbit of whatever social media thing it is? Or is it God's absolute truth. I think it was D.L. Moody who said, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. God's word, absolutely crucial. I couldn't face a day, actually. I can't begin to think of facing a day without getting into God's words first. Lord, teach me, show me. I've read God's word how many times, I can't tell you. But I'm still learning. I'm still discovering new things. And can I just speak to the guys here? Because a lot of us chaps, we don't like reading. A lot of you women on holiday, one of the first things you'll do is take a book with you. Okay? Not many men do that. We might take a podcast or something like that. But we'll rarely read a book. Because it's not what we do. There are exceptions, I appreciate that. But on the whole, that's not what men do. And that's what I love about this YouVersion app, is that if you don't like reading, let David Suchet read to you. I think he's got the most amazing voice. Don't read it at night time, though, because you'll fall asleep very, very quickly. Okay, he's just got that lovely tone. My boys, James and Jonathan, they don't like reading. But I tell you what, they're never off YouTube. And so I've said to them, just get onto YouTube, boys, and just allow God to speak to you through YouTube. There are different ways. We've got so much access now to God's word. The second tool that I use is something called PrayerMate. I think there's a picture of it coming up there. That's the one, PrayerMate there. So again, it's on my phone. It's an app that I use every day. I have my prayers on there. But the lovely thing about that app is that it gives you recommended prayers. It gives you guided prayers. It gives you different agencies, different mission societies, whatever, that actually download into your app at whatever frequency that you want. And I know some of you are glazing over thinking, oh, he's talking about apps. But actually, for a lot of us now, that's the life we live. And I would just encourage you as young people, get a good Bible app on your phone. Get PrayerMate on there and let it help you. And you can personalize it. I've personalized mine so that not only am I praying for certain, I pray for you guys, but I pray for certain friends all around the country. I pray for certain things, different countries, different mission societies, all those different kind of things. But also, I've gone to some of the old prayers, I've put them in there, and allow God's prayers through other people to bless me as I pray them. Let me finish with this one. Read God's word, prayer. But can I encourage us as well to read the old saints? Now, please don't get me wrong. I love some of the more modern authors. There are many authors that I read. But if I really want to go deeper with God, I go to some of the ones that are not alive now. There's something about their spirituality that, I don't know, has been lost in translation, I think, in the 21st century. Let me give you one example from somebody who has been a mentor to me through his books for a number of years now. He's called A.W. Tozer. And this is one of his prayers. He says, God, save me from a bondage to things. Let me not waste my days puttering around the house. I love that. Let me not waste my days puttering around the house. Lay thy terror upon me, O God, and drive me to the place of prayer where I may wrestle with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Deliver me from overeating and late sleeping. Teach me self-discipline that I may be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And now, O Lord of heaven and earth, I consecrate my remaining days to thee. Let them be many or few, as thou wilt. Let me stand before the great or minister to the poor and lowly. That choice is not mine, and I would not influence it if I could. I am thy servant to do thy will, and that will is sweeter to me than position or riches or fame, and I choose it above all things on earth or in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? And God's people said, amen. So, I am very aware that this has been challenging. I tell you what, Every sermon that I write, I'm just very conscious that it challenges me ever before it challenges you. But God is saying, I want you to get real with me. Don't treat me as an afterthought. I love you with all my being. Would you please love me in return? Would you place me first? May it affect your choices, the decisions that you make. Allow me to be your plumb line, that you measure everything against what my word teaches you. Because he wants you to know goodness and the good life. Let's pray. Father, we do repent, and we would say, Lord, that our love for you is not what it should be. Lord, would you humble us and help us to seek your face, Lord, as we throw ourselves down at your feet and say, Lord, would you forgive us as sinners? And Lord, would you then pick us up, Lord, and dust us off? We thank you, Lord, that you have robed us with righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to renew our commitment to you, that we would surrender afresh, that, Lord, that you would help us to listen to your word and to dig deep, Lord, into the older saints. Teach us. Teach us what the good life is. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you for family, Lord. And thank you for this incredible invitation that we have of tasting and seeing that you are good. Of being part of your family. What a remarkable truth that is. And so, Lord, for each of us here, those of us who are watching online, and Father, those who are significant in our lives, Father, our families and friends, Lord, I just pray your blessing that this week we might each be able to testify of walking that bit closer to you, of tasting more of what you want to give us. And as we receive from you, we pray, Father, that what we give to others would be truly nourishing and truly good. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.